not just abstract, but it has dynamics, it has a working, it has an effect, it does change things, it has power, it brings joy, it has things that it actually positively gives to us. And the Lord wants you and me to enjoy that. I'm thinking this morning of some scriptures that we find in the 5th chapter of Romans. Romans is a precious book, as are all the Bible. But Romans gives us so much insight into salvation and into the very plan that God brought into this world. Jesus Christ, we term Him and has been termed the Prince of Peace. We know in John, I believe, He said, "My peace I leave with you." I believe in Peter that God is not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ said, "Cast on me all your cares." John wrote in 1 John, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Did you know the Lord comes then to bring us something and give us something better than what we have? I would today, and God would have us, to inherit all the blessings and all the things God has for us. I wonder sometimes as people, do we not sometimes kind of get satisfied or at least in a rut and hold on to the things the flesh has, the attitudes, the likes, the dislikes, etc. Trying to make peace, trying to have peace, but without utilizing the blessings of the Holy Ghost of God. Here's what he said in the 5th chapter of Romans. He prefaces this sentence with a condition that something else has already taken place. That you and I, that the hearer of this word, has already came to a place whereby he's been saved, whereby he's been washed in the blood, whereby he has been redeemed, whereby one has right standing before God. They have been justified. They have been made clear before the Almighty. That's some of the things salvation produces. When you and I confess our sins and humble ourselves, the blood of Jesus, God forgives us, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But that's just, praise the Lord, a beginning point where we are a new creature, new ideas, new thinking. We have something better than we had. Now, he said, "Therefore, since you have entered into this wonderful estate called salvation," Lord, help each one of us today to have what Paul speaks about here. "Therefore, being justified by faith," faith in the work of Jesus Christ, faith in what He did. We've heard some of this already in the meeting. "But now being justified by faith in the work of God." This morning, are you trying to have the products of salvation with your works? Faith in what you can do, faith in what society can do, faith in the ingenuity and the cunning craftiness of man, faith in your power, your job, your mindset. We need this morning to recognize that we need to have faith in the work of God. What is the work of God? Jesus said it is to believe on Him whom He has sent, upon Jesus. Believe not on Him altogether. That's, you look that word up in the Greek, it will also say into. Believe into the Lord Jesus Christ. Our works are rather filthy. Our works are inadequate. Now, but he said here, "Therefore, being justified by faith," faith in God's plan, faith in God's salvation, faith in the price that He was paid. Didn't we sing when I was coming in this morning, "Jesus paid it all"? Faith that the price has been paid. Faith for everything you need, the price has been paid. Faith that you are no longer a slave, because the price for your redemption has been paid. Faith that you're no longer under the pall of night and darkness, but you're walking in the glorious light of Jesus Christ because the light bill has been paid. Thank the Lord. Now he said, being justified by what God has done, faith in that working, walking in that, he said today, right here in this present evil world, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift that has ever been given by man or by God, by the divine, is that you and I can have a relationship where there's no guilt. And there is therefore now no condemnation. And you and I can have a relationship that he calls here a peaceful relationship. A peaceful relationship that not only exists between us and the divine, us and the one who created us, us and the one before whom we will answer to, but we can have peace in every avenue of our life. Peace in human relationships. Peace in our working. Peace in our family. And we can have peace in our mind. We can have the soundness of a mind that knows in whom we have believed. Peace in the knowledge that I know he is able to keep me. And I don't have to fear what the devil can do. I don't have to fear what sickness can do. I have the peace of God that goes beyond just saying there's no warfare. But we are consciously understanding now God is all in all. He doesn't need any help. God is adequate, more than adequate. He said he would supply all of our needs, every last one of them, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When you and me begin to understand our needs are met in Christ, that accentuates, if you will, the peace. We have peace. We're no longer guilty. But God wants us to know more than just that we are no longer guilty. He wants to know, us to know, that every need we have will be met in him. That's also peace. God doesn't want a fearful, a dreading. He doesn't want a people or a church that said, well, we're free, but I'm terrified of the night. I'm terrified of everything that happens. I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. Part of the peace that God wants to bring is not only the peace of salvation, knowing we're justified, knowing we can go to that joyful meeting in glory, but knowing that I also, every time an incident arises in my life, I can cast on him all my cares. That I do not have to be under this thing called worry and fretting. Sure, we'll have concerns. And there's a difference between a concern and being consumed with a concern. Being consumed with it will bring fear and anxiety, and I'll tell you what it'll do. It will take our mind off of God. It will take our mind onto it, whatever it is. Human relationships, jobs, it will occupy our mind. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to think on him first, seek him first, and then those things we need, which he will supply, will be added to us. I am so glad this morning that the dynamics and the dimensions of the peace that we can have through our Lord, with God, who is the supplier of all things, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The song said there's no hungering, no thirsting. I may get some of the words mixed up, for life's pleasure. Then it said, I have found, for this reason, for this purpose, I have found a richer treasure. One that fadeth not away. Another place it said in that song, I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. This morning, have you found the peace? Not only the peace of forgiveness, that's first, that's foremost, but have you found the peace of abiding in the Lord? Drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Have you found the peace that comes of casting on him, folks, not just in word, but in actuality, all our cares on him? God wants us to do that. That's part of the peace. And we forfeit peace. When I get a big old croaker sack, or a tow sack, or a burlap bag, whatever you want to call it, and start putting my cares in it, these are the things that I've got to be concerned about. My children, and take this in balance, my children, the unsaved of the world, my feelings, your feelings, my backache, my headache, and I'm not minimizing them, except I minimize them in the light of His glorious care for us. They are less than His power. And if we start taking those things, though, and saying, I've got to do this, I've got to take care of this, again, there are responsibilities. Take this in balance. And we take those things and we stuff them in our sack and we throw it over our back. First of all, we'll never get it worked out. And we'll get a raw back and a sore back. And you get a raw back and a sore back, folks, you get a sore head. And you get a little hard to get along with. Why don't people like me? Could it be, and this is coming to me now, why do I think people don't, why do I, maybe it's because that bag you got on your back, you keep wanting to empty it out on them. And you know what? They may have their own bag. Or they may not have an iota of an idea of how to help you. And the most sometimes we have, and please don't. I'm trying to be balanced here. Sure, we need to help. Lord help us. But we are all so insufficient, and sometimes we as people think our help cometh from one another. A measure of our help cometh from one another. But our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We lose sight of it because I can't see God. I can see Brother Gordon. I can see these folks out here. I'll run to him. And again, please understand, yes, we do that. And yes, we're to aid one another. And yes, we're to confess our faults. I know all of that. And I agree with that. But Lord, help us to know there's a God in heaven who is absolutely greater than all our woes and all our cares. And I can have peace with God, not only through my justification and having right standing, but I have peace in knowing I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Do you know that this morning? Is there a shyness in our hearts today? What would create shyness? Well, thinking too little of one's experience, having an intimidation, having something in our closet that we don't want to admit, a little laziness, a little attitude. All those things can contribute to our shyness from the throne of grace. I would this morning that we understand part of our peace today is able to cast on Him and come in boldly to the throne of grace. God indeed is our helper. And part of the message, part of my burden is this morning that you and I realize that maybe you, maybe some of us today are carrying around something that doesn't belong to you. Something that you're holding on to because you think you can handle it. Or maybe you think God is not interested. Or maybe you think it's okay. But all the time, it's pre-creating a break in that peace that you want. It's causing disturbances here and there in different places. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know one of the greatest needs that a peacemaker needs? Is peace himself or herself. Did you know, sometimes I've been in places, a few, where there's been an accident or a little commotion of some kind. And the last thing you want is a hysterical person at that point. Probably one of the first things you want is someone knows what they're doing. Says, wait a minute. And you got somebody gushing blood and somebody's out here running around. He's bleeding to death. He's bleeding to death. I may do that, so I want to be careful. Because you get in those kind of places, you can lose your cool sometime. But what you want is somebody that knows he's bleeding to death and put pressure on that wound real quick. Do something, see? He's bleeding to death. His arteries cut. Put some pressure on that thing. Stop the flow of blood. Call 911. You want somebody there to start kind of sorting through things. And calling on, saying, do this and do that. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall see God. Did you know I thought of this? Maybe a little play on words. You know, we want God to see, we want people to see God in us. I thought about it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Kind of like that scripture, without holiness, no man shall see God. I don't take away from what I think we believe the original intent is. But we've heard in this message that if we're going to be an example for the believer, we've got to have holiness. And without holiness, no one's going to see God in us. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall see God. If I haven't learned the peace of God and its workings in my life, I'm going to have a lot of trouble trying to be a peacemaker in this life. Consequently, it's going to be hard for people at that point to see God in me. I know it's a little play on words, but think about it. If you and me want to exhibit Christ, we need to have that peace of God in us. If we're going to advise others to be, just be calm, trust God, we've got to be calm, and we've got to trust God. We've got to bear the fruit before we can give the fruit. We've got to have the source of the fruit before we can bear the fruit. Before we go out, before you and I want to have peace in our home, we've got to have peace in our own mind. We've got to have peace in ourselves. Wife, straighten up and get peace. You're just always agitated. And you just need to... It don't even make sense, does it? Did you know there's a lot of people in life trying to go through that way, though? Getting everybody else, getting everything else, getting all the bank accounts added up and get everything just right, getting all these leaders of the world all and straightened out, and yet they're guilty of their own heart. Therefore, being justified by faith. Didn't he say one place, great peace have they that love thy law? Great peace. We're not talking about enough to get by. We're not talking about peace that is just so flimsy that it only works up to point A. But beyond that, B, C, D, it's gone. You know, the greatest fear can come upon us. And God wants us to have peace there also. I'm not saying you won't get a little sweaty. And I won't say your heart won't beat faster. But God's got a calmness. And God's got a peace for us right there too. Casting on Him right then. Dear God. And we may be screaming when we say this. Help me now. I'm trusting you, Lord. Help me through this time. And our eyes may be almost dilated because we're terrified. But there is that anchor. And there is that hope. And there is that place where the peace of God will come in and rule in those situations. Therefore, being justified by faith. Folks, we have it. We have it. It's part of the inheritance. And he'll speak here, if we get this far, about the Holy Ghost. Did you know what one of the things the Holy Ghost is? He is the earnestness of God. You go out and you buy something, and you've got to arrange financing, or you've got to go to the bank and transfer some money, you've got to wait and get a title search and an inspection, say, on the house. But you want the house. You want the piece of property. Tell you what I'll do, sir. I want this. How much will you require to temporarily take it off the market in that you won't sell it for 30 days, 60 days, 10 days? Well, I want 10%. Here's a check for 10%. It's earnest money. You've put it up and you're holding it. He's going to hold it for you and you go make your arrangements. And then you come back and you take possession. Jesus, the Holy Ghost was sent by Jesus Christ. He is the earnest of God. He is that one who came down to us as the pledge of the inheritance that belongs to us. Not of only that joyful meeting in glory, but of peace with God. He comes to bring and establish it. Not in Jerusalem, not in Washington, not in any of the four corners of the earth, but in our heart. Establish it. The King on the throne. The King reigning. And when you and I run around, excuse me for saying this, some of you young people won't understand it, but have you ever wrung a chicken's neck? And you know what the chicken does? If we're not careful, and I don't want to be too silly, kind of like the pinball machine, just bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. That chicken has some problems, and it has nothing it can do. And we've seen that. If we're not careful, when we start taking control and trying to fix it and work it out, what shall I say? I'm thinking now that that one who is the earnest of the promise of God, we're not allowing him at that point to reign. We've taken the matters in our own hands. I'm going to get even. I'm going to cross my hands and I'm going to pout. Now, folks, I'm not going to tell us that we won't ever get in that place. But God, awaken us quickly and help us to see the foolishness of selfish endeavors. Today, if you or me, if we are caught up in selfish endeavors, you want a husband? Don't make it a selfish matter. You want a wife? Don't make it a selfish matter. Now, maybe I'm saying that because there's maybe some here that's thinking about that. People have made shipwreck. A little twinkle in an eye. A little bulging of the biceps. And people have gotten married over such things. Loneliness. Fear of facing life without a companion. Those are all selfish endeavors. And people have followed that to their own sorrow. We have a God who wants to reign. And He's the King of Peace. And every way He leads us, it's going to be a peaceful way. It's going to bring peace and keep peace in our soul. It will give us a good marriage. It will cause you and me to make the right choices in life. God help us to not only want this peace, but to allow Him who brings it in and have right away. This great peace. This great peace. He said, we've heard last night, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. What? The things that God hath prepared for who? Them that love Him. Those who have entered into this justified relationship. But He's revealed them to us, the great things of God, the deep things of God. Where are we with God today? Are we in the ankle-deep water? And we'll forget when I was a little boy. I was always so tired of the kiddie pool. And I couldn't wait till I could get to jump over into the 3 feet. Get over there with the big boys. You know, get over there in a place where I could have freedom. Are we still ankle deep in Christ? When out there, folks, is a river to swim in. Flowing from the throne of God. And it may be multitudes in it, but I want to tell you something. There's a place in that river for you. It's free flowing, granted to all. That we not only know of this peace, but we allow the Prince of Peace through the Holy Ghost and the Word, but through the Holy Ghost to reign in our life. Giving out the gifts, giving out the help, the wisdom, and the understanding we need. And he said this in the second verse. By Jesus Christ, we have now access by faith into all grace. I know the word not all here, but to all the grace that we need. Grace for grace. That means multiplied grace. Grace that will not run out. Grace to establish you. Grace to keep you. Grace to furnish you with every good thing. Grace to make you a warrior in the kingdom of God. A good soldier that's enabled to endure hardness. Everything is found in this grace. We have grace to enter into a relationship with God whereby we have hope, whereby we have trust, whereby we're able to rise above the pitfalls and miss some of them, whereby we are able to be more than a weary, worn conqueror, but we can be more than a conqueror. We can be triumphant. We can go through the battles, and our life is still intact with God. We still know how to be nice to people. We still know how to minister to people, and we've just come out of a great battle. But we know how to still be an example. We still know how to be that light unto the world and the salt of the earth, that this trial, this battle, this inquisition I've gone through did not deplete me of the salt that God has for me. And my life, in your life, can still have the savor of Jesus Christ, even though we're in manifold temptations. This is the grace God wants for us. God wants you to shine in the darkness. God wants you to shine when you're sick. God wants you to shine when people don't treat you right. God wants you to shine when life is handing you lemons. He wants a big glass of lemonade coming out of your hand to the guy walking down the street. Here, have a glass of my lemonade. Came from God. But we fail as humans, and I point no fingers except maybe at myself. We fail right here sometimes because we get caught up in us. Now, I want to tell you something. When I got a headache, I think about me. So please, don't think I'm saying I don't. But folks, God doesn't want us to get that headache so bad that the peace is not there, the ministering is not there, the joy is not there, and the example of Christ is not there. If you get a headache, hold it and hurt and want a dark room, that's not wrong. But don't let it sour you. Don't let it cause you to do something unseemly. Still know how to speak a kind word. I want you to pray for me, because when I get impatient, sometimes I don't utilize the grace like I ought to. May I confess that? Pray for me. But God's got grace right there for old Stan. You know that? Sure he does. Praise God this morning. It's a grace that we can stand, and I'm sure that means occupy or live in, but I'm going to use it this way. Quit ye like men. Be strong. We can stand up for Jesus because we've got peace with Him, because we've got the Holy Ghost, the seal of His approval, the seal of His Spirit, of His prize upon us, because we have grace for grace, multiplied grace, grace that cannot, that will not be depleted. You use all the grace in heaven, and I don't have any. That doesn't exist. It's all grace, abounding. You know, that's the word Paul uses about grace, an abounding grace. May the Lord help us. And he said, we have, and we rejoice. Oh, listen. Who but the Christian is happy and free, filled with the, is it glories divine? Glory of God? Who but the Christian who that has experienced this grace. We can call it sanctification. We can call it the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We can call it justification even. But the songwriter said, who else but that person is happy and free, filled with the glory of God? This morning he wants to fill us with his glory. Brother here testified, I would call his name, but I won't. He said this publicly right here in this congregation. He said he had a thought in past, this is my words now, in past, that you get ready for the Holy Ghost, you come down to the altar and give yourself to the Holy Ghost, and that's it. Talk to the Lord, I know. And he said he never did get the sweetness of total victory that way. And I, again, in my words, he was seeking the Lord, asking the Lord to come in and fill him up. And I believe the Lord said something to him like this. You got too much other stuff in there. And the light dawned on him. Again, these are my words. The lights went on. And he realized that he had occupying his mind, his heart, the very things that were disturbing him that he maybe, again, this is conjecture now, things that were troubling him that he thought was somewhere else. That's what happens to us. We think the enemy's out there. We think the problem's out there. And it's him, her, them, those, it. No. The battle's here, and it's how it touches us. Had a little message here a while back on frustration. You know what frustration is? This is Stan's definition, but I believe the Lord gave it to me. It's you and me trying to control things we have no control over. You ever tried to drive a 60-penny nail in a piece of oak? You ever got frustrated at something like that? You don't have any control. You think, I got the hammer. But that's all you got. You also got a bent nail. You know, you got that. If you ever had something like that that wouldn't work and you get frustrated, why? Because you didn't have control over it. Something we have control over, we do pretty well with. God wants to give us control over ourselves. That then when the old 4x4 piece of oak that's good and dry, and that 60-penny nail, and that 24, 32-ounce hammer, all meet, come together, and we hit it with the force of our swing, and that old nail says, "Hump." We can have peace with God. And we don't take the hammer and throw it at the dog. Now, that's kind of an exaggeration, maybe, but probably not. God has a peace for us, folks. And he wants us to enter into it. The door is open. This is a favorite scripture of mine. And no man can close it. Isn't that wonderful? Brother Marty there may be struggling for something. And he sees that open door and I can say, I don't want Marty to get in there yet. I can't shut that door. If he wants to enter in that place, it's wide open. If you enter in, you'll find pasture. You'll find the fodder you need to fight the good fight of faith. You'll find the cool drink of water to refresh you for the next day or the next moment. If we enter in by the door, and Jesus said, I am the door. The same one that we have peace with God through. So we have a hope today set before us. What's your hope? Are you hoping for another day like today or yesterday? Or are you looking for something better? Are you looking for something better? You know, the Lord's interested in things better. He brought in a better covenant because he's interested in us. He knew what sin had done. And to get us from there to the kingdom of God was not an easy journey. And it took time and it took things I have absolutely no understanding of. But he always had something better for us. There they were in Israel, Jacob and his family, and there they were, maybe doing fairly well. And they thought, well, this is going to be it. God had something better for them. Took a famine, took a kidnapping, but he took them down in Egypt. And they fared real well down there. Did good. After a while, they had a change of leadership down there. And Joseph was gone. The Pharaohs were gone. Somebody mentioned Joseph, and the old Pharaoh would say, Joseph who? Well, things got not so good. God had something better for them. So he led them out by signs and wonders and miracles. God had something better for them. So he brought them up to the land of Canaan, Jordan River. It was swollen. Can't go over. God had something better for them, and they went over. Dry land. Feet didn't get wet. Ark of the Covenant stayed right there with them all the way through. Got in the land of Canaan, houses they didn't build, fields they didn't plant, grapes they didn't graft. It was theirs. It belonged to them. Looked pretty good. God had something better for them. We could go on through the course of the prophets and all those things, pointing to the day when in Bethlehem something better happened. The best of the best this side of eternity. And the angels were there. The angel was declaring it. And it seemed like heaven just got so full that one angel couldn't say it all. And I don't know if angels jump and shout and run in circles, and I don't know. Maybe they were lined up in a choir like, I don't know. But heaven couldn't contain it. And they started singing, glory to God. Goodwill, and somebody help me out now. I should know that one really. What? Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Glory to God up here, you know, who reigns in eternity. And your God reigns, folks. This giver of peace reigns. Glory to God in the highest up there. But on earth, down here where we mortals trod, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That's the declaration of God, folks. We have a hope. We've got something better. That covenant that he made with Moses, precious for its time. Schoolmaster, don't discount it. People want to make fun of it. People want to say, oh, the old law, this and that. Folks, be careful. That's God just as much as Jesus is. That's God's will. That's God's word to us, the law is. But there was still something better. And now here you and I are in 2006. We got something better on our hands. We don't have an excuse for bitterness. We don't have an excuse for wrath. We don't have an excuse for sin. We don't have an excuse for fear and doubts and envies and jealousies and just discouragement and walking away and backsliding and getting caught up in sinful practices. Folks, the excuse has been taken away now. Because Jesus Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil, that the very peace of God can be established right where it needed to be all the time, right in my heart and in your heart. Praise God for that. Are we now receiving it? Are we acknowledging it? And do we allow it to work in our life? We're not angels. We're immortals. We're humans. And we've been given a will, and you know this, and you've heard it many times, but I wonder sometimes if we don't just pass it off. Folks, we're going to give an account of our will and what we do with our will. And if our will is not consecrated and given over to God so His peace can thoroughly reign in us, that means that we are allowing our will to go to ourselves. And no flesh will be justified there. No flesh will be justified before God. If you or me contend to hold on to troubles, woes, and sin, we will not stand justified before God. No flesh can say long enough. You know, I was on a jury one time, years ago. And I listened, and I think I heard and understood about a fourth of what all I heard. To me, it was just two people squabbling. But anyway, come time at the end of the trial, all the witnesses have been done. They gave their summations. And that's when I realized that a guy with a slick tongue can just about convince you of anything. This first lawyer got up and he gave his little talk, and I wasn't saved, but I thought, my, that man's got it. He's right on target. Everything he, that other party's guilty. So he sat down, and the judge said, thank you. Called the next guy up, and he said, sir, you make your presentation. So this other guy from the other side, he started making his presentation. You know what I said? He's got it. He's right on. Kind of like the last one to speak is who you're going to vote for. You know? You know, I got a little lesson out of that. We can convince ourselves of anything. And in convincing ourselves of anything, we can throw peace out the window. I can justify anything I want to do. Do you want to spend some money when you don't want to, don't need to? You're going to go buy something new, new computer, new car, new this, new that, new house. What you got's working, but you got that hankering. You ever got a hankering? I get hankerings. You know? If you're not careful, you can hanker yourself right into something you don't need. You can kind of get the thinking work. This is why I won't tell you about myself, but I got a feeling you're not far away. When I set my mind to something, I'm not talking about sinful things, but something I want to do. Well, I've got my little reasons. You ever done that? You know what I don't like? I don't like the guy to come along to me and say, that number one reason, that really doesn't hold water. You know, have you ever noticed that about some of us? Well, you know, you got number four down here. Tires are worn out. You know, you can get a new set of tires for $500 or $600. That new car is going to cost you $30,000. Have you ever noticed you don't want to hear a reason sometimes? You know, we got to be careful when we set our mind, folks. It's a powerful thing. And you know what it'll do? It'll walk us right into something that'll take our peace away from us. And then we're left with a bill, we're left with the consequences, or we were left with a lake of fire. Runs the gamut all the way down to hell fire. So Lord, help us today. Praise God for His peace. Therefore, being justified by peace, by Christ, by God, by faith, through Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, not ashamed now, not afraid anymore, because that love that brings all of this is just shed abroad in our hearts. Is that love been shed abroad in your heart? It has to be for you to have this total peace. Has the Holy Ghost come in to your life? There is the Prince of Peace coming and taking his abode up in us. So thank the Lord this morning. I hope every one of us have peace with God. And in so doing, you'll have peace that the dynamics can go forth in measures that you've never expected. You pray for me.